Take your Bibles with me again once more this afternoon and turn to the book of 1 John and chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 3 is going to be our text here this afternoon. I really wanted to give this message a clever title. Many of you may have heard the term bandied around in the news, quantitative easing, talking about the financial markets and things of that nature. And I wanted to kind of play off of that and do some kind of easing to do with this, because we're talking about God's law is easy, and I couldn't come up with anything. So, Brother Chris, if you want to title this on sermon audio, I'd give it something along the lines of God's law, light. God's law, light. And we'll just stick with a simple title like that. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 this afternoon, but verse 3 is going to be our text. So if you would stand to your feet with me out of respect for the public reading of God's word, we'll read 1 John chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We see in Scripture and we sing the truth often, edifying one another with the fact that the law of the Lord is perfect. And the commandments of the Lord are true, and the fear of the Lord is clean, and the statutes of the Lord are right, and the judgments of the Lord are true. And we see that again here this afternoon. Drive these truths home to us by your word this afternoon, that we would see your commandments as not grievous, but worth more than gold and sweeter than honey, that they would be delightful and lightening to our journey. Help me this afternoon as I consider this text and preach it to your people, that we would, by your Spirit, be taught this truth, that the new heart that you've given your children would learn to sing of its love for your commandments. For Christ's sake, we ask these things. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. That word grievous there comes from a word which has to do with heavy or weighty. I don't know about you, a lot of times when I hear the word grievous, I think more along the lines of something that's troubling, or I dislike it, and those all do kind of play into it. But really at its root, the idea here is heavy, weighty, a greater burden. Some translations translate this, burdensome. It's the idea here that it's pushing down on you and making your journey more difficult and more wearisome. And John says that is not what the commands of God do. That is not what the commands of God are for those who love God and who therefore love his people. The obeying of the commands of God, which we went through several of them last week when we talked about the Ten Commandments, and we saw how we can apply that in different ways in our love for God, overflowing in our love to his people. Those aren't burdensome to us. Those aren't weighty and heavy to us. We don't see that and think, oh, my journey through this life, my pilgrimage through this life is now more difficult because I have these commandments. Men's laws do that. The commandments of men are weighty. They're heavy. they're burdensome. In fact, Jesus said this of the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23 and verses 1 through 4, Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." So they sit in that position as a teacher of the law, rightfully so. "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." So these scribes and these Pharisees, those who are carefully writing out exactly word for word the Word of God, and those who are sitting in the position of teaching that Word, when they teach you from Moses' seat, everything they say, do it. Obey it. "But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So that's what these scribes and these Pharisees, through many traditions, had begun to do. They sat in Moses' seat. They were exactly writing down and copying out what God had said in His law and His commandments. But then they were adding all kinds of stipulations and loopholes and activities on top of these things that, honestly, the children of Israel couldn't stand up under. And all the while, they were being hypocrites and not even following their own teachings. But what did Jesus say of His teachings, contradictory to that of the scribes and the Pharisees, in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30? "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So all of you have been sitting under these extra biblical traditions of men which are too heavy for you to carry. "Come to Me as the living Word, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." Now, there have been some speculation, some debates over exactly what commandments John is talking about here, that we keep His commandments. We have, obviously, the very immediate context of 1 John, the commands of God to love our brethren as we love God, which wasn't new with John. We've gone over that in depth in the Gospels and even in the Old Testament, that the first and great commandment was to love the Lord your God, and that the second was like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So perhaps he was talking about that very close context. Maybe he was talking about the larger context of the Gospel. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus began His ministry, preaching and saying, "Repent." And so we know that God now commands all men everywhere to repent. So we know that that command is out there, that command to repent of your sins and to believe on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command that's not grievous, that's not heavy. In fact, it lifts the load. For those of you who are familiar with John Bunyan's classic work, The Pilgrim's Progress, you remember what happens when he comes to the cross. His burden falls off. His load is now lighter. His journey is now easier. And that is, I believe, a beautiful picture of exactly what the Scriptures tell us. The command to repent and believe the Gospel is not a heavier burden, it's a lighter burden. Certainly we could talk about God's commandments at large. The Ten Commandments, as we talked about last week, summarizing the larger volumes in Deuteronomy and Exodus of God's laws, and yet extrapolating out just a little bit, the two, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We see those teased out a little bit in the Ten Commandments, the first four about how God expects us to love Him, and the next six about how God expects us to love our neighbor. Those laws aren't grievous either. They're not heavy. They are laws which actually will make your journey lighter, if you'll follow them. If you'll obey the Ten Commandments, you will find your pilgrimage to be a lighter, easier journey. You know what's heavier? Disobeying the commandments. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 38 and verse 4, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me." Your iniquity, your lawlessness, your disobedience to the commandments of God, that is what's going to weigh you down. Again, we see this in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul tells us to lay aside the weights. What is he talking about when he talks about lay aside weights? Sins, iniquity, disobedience to God. He calls those weights. They're grievous. They're heavy. They are burdensome. If you're a professing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you say, "I have repented of my sins and put my faith fully in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to follow after Him, but I'm still working through this idea of the commands of God not being heavy because they seem heavy to me sometimes. They seem hard and difficult to follow. It does seem like they make my way straighter and more confined than I would be otherwise." Or perhaps you're an unbeliever here and you don't even profess to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're sitting here and to your unconverted heart, you certainly see the law of God as just something constricting and heavy and weighty. I would call your attention to the 119th Psalm. If we would meditate on and learn the 119th Psalm, which goes over and over and over, God's law, His commandments, His statutes, His judgments. It gives us all of these words for it. And out of 176 verses, I think maybe just two or three don't explicitly talk about the word, the law, the testimonies, the commandments, the judgments, the statutes of the Lord. And when you read not only how David feels about it, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not only how he talks again and again about how he loves it and how he delights in it, but he gives us, out of 176 verses, I picked 20 out that give us attributes about God's commandments, about God's laws that make our burden lighter. So turn with me over to Psalm 119. And let's just start flipping through that chapter. That's what we'll be for the rest of our time together here this afternoon. And meditate on this truth. The commands of God are not grievous. The commandments of God are not heavy, weighty, and burdensome. Take in your mind's eye the illustration of John Bunyan. Think of the unconverted man coming from the city of destruction with a heavy burden on his back. And he's got to make a long pilgrimage. He's got to make a long journey. One of the verses we're going to talk about specifically call it a pilgrimage. It is one of the reasons I'm leaning on that illustration here this afternoon. But we know that we're strangers. The scriptures are clear about that. We have here no lasting city. We're looking for one that is to come. Our home and our citizenship is in heaven. And if on our journey through this life, we would take heed to the commands of God, what would they do for us? Well, what about Psalm 119 and verse 9? "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." So the commandments of God clean us. I don't know about you, but if I come home or if I've been at home and I come inside after a long hot job, maybe I've been cutting the grass, I'm covered in sweat, I'm covered in grass clippings, whatever the case may be, I don't want to remain in that state long. And the longer I have to remain in that state, the more difficult all my other tasks become. In fact, it gets to a point after a while, after Sabbath, all my clothes damp with sweat and grass clippings in my face, and I can't go on any longer. I've got to clean up a little bit before I can do anything. Even if I just go over to the garden hose and rinse my arms off, I've got to get some of this dirt off of me before I can go on any further. If that's an illustration for us going through this life with sin accumulating on us and clinging to us and us doing battle, as we heard this morning, with the flesh and the world and the devil, what's going to make our journey a little bit easier by washing some of that off? God's commandments. God's law, His words. He's going to teach us how to rinse off some of that weight. How to put off some of those sins that have been accumulating on us and making our way harder and harder to go through. In this sense, the Word of God, the law, the commandments of God, being a cleansing agent, they are not grievous, they are just the opposite. They are lightening, they are liberating, they are freeing. Go down a few verses, just verse 14, Psalm 119 and verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. As much as in all riches. Now, I've heard it said in humor, money may not be able to buy you happiness, but it can sure make your life a lot easier. Something along those lines. And all of us understand something of the truth that's a little bit in there. Jesus told us to make friends with unrighteous mammon. We've got to use money in order to go through this life. But this morning, Pastor Michael was using that illustration of what if you got $1 million a week from one of these unlimited bank accounts? I don't know what I'd do with $1 million. I don't know what I'd do with $1 million a year. I come from poor stock. I can't even wrap my mind around $1 billion. But David, who was the king of Israel, who was accumulating gold and silver and cedars for the building of the temple, who had access to all the luxuries of this world and the riches and what they afforded, said that he rejoices in the testimonies of God as much as he does in all riches. Can you imagine? You think your life would be so much easier if you had an unlimited credit card, or if you had a bank account with 17 zeros on it, or something of this nature. Well, David says, I know something that's going to make your life easy like that. I know something that ought to cause you to rejoice that you have access to it. You have an unlimited supply upon which you can draw. The law of God. The commandments of God are going to open doors for you. They're going to make your life easier. They're going to make your burden lighter. Verse 14, Psalm 119, I'm sorry, verse 24, Psalm 119, 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You know how hard it is to proceed along a journey to somewhere you're trying to go if you're very confused about how to get there? I don't know if you've ever been in a position like that. You know where you want to get to, but you have no idea how to get there. And so maybe you call some people up who have been in a situation like that before, or you just try to go to some old timers who have seen a lot of different things in their life, and you say, what should I do here? What steps would I take? Give me some counsel here. As elders in the church, as those who have given our lives over to the study of the Word of God and to the ministry to His people, Pastor Michael and myself get questions like this a lot of times. You know, give me some counsel here. Help me out to know what does the Scriptures command us here? Well, David said, anytime I'm confused and it seems like it's getting harder and harder to proceed because I don't even know which way to go, I can turn to your law. I can turn to the commandments of God and say, what does God require of me? He showed me what is good and what He requires of me. He's laid it all out there for me. I don't have to wonder. I just have to go to the right counselor. I just have to hear the right wisdom. And David said, I've got the best. I've got the testimonies of God. about the law of God, which is going to help clear up some of the haze and the confusion in my mind, and I don't understand where I should go from here. I turn to the counsel of the Lord. What is the counsel of the Lord? It's His commandments. He's told us how we should live and walk. And if we would be faithful to that, if we would be obedient to those things, we would find a lot of the confusion that we make for ourselves would clear up. Sometimes you'll give someone advice from the Word of God. Well, here's what the Bible... It's just not that simple. You just don't understand all the complexities. It's not that black and white. Well, I don't have anything else to tell you. All I can give you is what the Bible says. And if you've got something that's too complex for the Bible, that's too gray for the Bible, then you've got something that David never had. He said, I delight in it because they counsel me. They're my counselors. They tell me which way I should go. Verse 28, Psalm 119, 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Here's one of the ways that God makes our burden lighter on our journey through life. Not by taking away our burden, but by adding to our strength. We know that Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he asked thrice that it would be taken away. And God told him, no, you're going to keep it. And it's so that my strength might be seen even more evident in your weakness. We pray for patience, and what do we expect God to do? We just want it magically infused into us. But you know how God usually gives us patience? By putting all sorts of things in our path that we didn't want to go through. We ask for endurance and we ask for faithfulness, and God says, okay, I'll do that for you. The same way you strengthen your body, by going to the gym and breaking down those muscles until they can't go any further so that they can be built back up stronger. I'll do that for your faith. I'll do that for your virtues. I'll put you in places where you're broken down to the lowest point where you think, why would God ever do this to me? Why is my soul melting for the heaviness that I'm under? It's so that by His word, He can strengthen you. He can give you greater strength to deal with the burdens that are going to be in your life. Psalm 119 and verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I wish I could preach just a sermon on this verse. How much is contained here? First, it's that God must first enlarge the heart. When God enlarges our heart, or as the scriptures talk about, I believe it was Lydia where it says God opened her heart. That's where salvation comes in. And then for the believer, He enlarges our heart. In giving us a new heart, He makes it to be able to endure more and to be larger and more giving and more strengthened and emboldened. And David said, when you do that for me, God, I'm going to be enabled to run in the way of your commandments. Not just walk bowed over with this heavy load, but like a marathon runner, your commandments give me the ability to run in your way. You get off in the thorns and the thickets. You get off in the fields of drowsiness. You get off the path, as again we see Christian do in that book, Pilgrim's Progress, and every time he gets off the path, it only slows him up. Every time he gets off the path, it only makes his way harder and heavier. And so it will be with your life. Every time you get outside of the commands of God, it's only going to make your load heavier and your way slower. If you want to run the race that is set before you, if you want to look to that final ending point, is if you're looking unto Jesus, as you're viewing His cross there in the distance and you're running for the celestial city, you won't run outside of His commandments. You might slog through. You might crawl. But if you want to run, you better stay within His commandments. As you're obedient to His law and His commandments, you are given an easy path to run to heaven. Again, not physically speaking necessarily, but spiritually speaking. Verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word. Jesus spoke clearly about one of the things that Christians can expect and one of the things that Christians ought to count as a blessing, as a blessed man, is when we're reproached, when we're reviled, when we're spoken evil of. We ought not think this a strange thing. We ought not wonder why we're being put under some unique stress or heat when evil things are said about us, when our reputation is unduly, improperly, maliciously attacked. But the answer that we have for those kind of things which unquestionably slow us down. If you've ever been the recipient of slander, if you've ever been on the receiving end of false accusations and reviles and reproaches, you know how it can just devastate you. Depending on who it comes from and what season of life you're in, it can make you almost unwilling to go on. Where do you find that reprieve? Something to lighten that load a little bit. Something that would give you an ability to answer in the most God-honoring and humble and Christ-exalting way. Not from your emotions, from the Word of God, His law, His commandments. They will tell you how to respond to that. They'll tell you not to blaspheme. They'll tell you not to dishonor your mother and your father. They'll tell you not to bear a false witness against your neighbor. They'll tell you not to do anything with your words that would be murderous toward that person. They'll give you an answer in that day of reproach, if we'll turn to them. Verse 45 gives us a big picture. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. There it is. The precepts of God simply give us liberty. I imagine most of you have probably noticed this, witnessed this in your own life. The children that are given the most leeway in their actions and their speech, their parents give them over to do whatever they want to do and they have no clearly set boundaries, are the most miserable children. I know I've seen it, and I imagine if I've seen it, you have too. Miserable children who can never be content. But the happy children, the contented children, are those who have been given clearly defined boundaries and set at liberty by their parents to walk in them. If you'll stay within these boundaries that I've set out for you, you can live a happy and blessed life. And they do. Well, so it is for you and I. When we imagine liberty to be doing whatever the flesh desires, it's only going to bring misery. It is going to add weights to your load. You think it won't. You think doing what you want to do. You think sexual promiscuity. You think not coming face to face with your pride. You think going on with your disobedience to parents. You think your lack of charity and grace toward others is really what's making you happy in this life. And it's not. Like David, you will find the man full of iniquity. It's too heavy a load to bear. If you would walk at liberty, seek God's precepts. Seek to be bound and confined by them. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had someone here in this church telling me about some brutal physical pain they were going through. And he said, the only relief I got was meditating on the Scriptures. There's a particular Scripture that came to mind, and just meditating on what that meant and the reality behind it was the only relief I found. Maybe you've been in a similar situation, whether it was an emotional strain or a physical strain or a spiritual strain. And you appreciated the kind words from everyone else and some of the actions maybe that they did for you. But you wouldn't have made it without the Word of God being a balm to your soul, being that salve, that ointment to that wound. There are afflictions in this life that there is no physical reprieve from. But there is always comfort and relief in the Word of God, in the law and the commandments of the Lord. Verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Here's that verse. David says, I'm here in this house, and it's the house of my pilgrimage. It's where I'm staying temporarily. This is my place that I've rented for a year between stops. This is where I'm at now until I get to where I'm really going. And yet in the midst of this reality of the temporary nature of this life and the burdens that accompany it, I have a song. I have a reason to rejoice and to sing to the Lord. They give us the reason to sing, and they give us the material to sing. That we would sing of the commands of God, His law, His precepts. In fact, that's what Psalm 119 is. The world's longest song. Probably not literally, but you know what I'm saying. It was written to be sung. And it's all about the law of God, the commands of God, the Word of God. David says, I've got a reason to sing. Have you ever found that a difficult journey or a hard day is made easier by music? Have you ever found that a difficult task, if you'll put some music on, is made easier? Or a long journey will go by faster with music playing? Probably the reason they put radios in cars. Well, so it is for you and I. We have before us a long, difficult journey. Now, it's short and easy compared to the weight of glory that awaits us. We understand that. But in the midst of our pilgrimage, it often seems long and difficult. But God's commandments give us a song. They give us that which would lighten our load, make it go by faster and easier. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, one of the only things that can make an awful circumstance worse is imagining that there's no reason for it. To think you're going through some difficulty, some awful circumstance in your life, and it's going to change nothing, it's going to not going to get anything good out of it. You think, I'm going through this for what? Well, David says there's a reason for all of my afflictions. It's to help me to learn His statutes better. The law of God gives us a reason for our afflictions. It gives us a motivation. It bolsters our spirits to think, yes, I'm going through this incredibly difficult thing that I don't know if I could have made it through it without the Word of God here to bolster me. And yet, I also know that this affliction is working for me an eternal weight of glory. It is working for me to teach me your statutes, your precepts, your commandments. I'll get to the other side of this, and I'll have learned more about what it means to obey God. than I did beforehand. Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. And this goes along with verse 71, where it gives meaning to our affliction, and verse 50, where it gives comfort in affliction. But sometimes the delight of God's law is the only saving grace in our affliction. There's times when the word and the commandments and the statutes of the Lord were what pulled us out of that miry pit. I've heard this testimony from people's lips. I don't know how I would have survived that had it not been for the comfort of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit applying that Word to my life. I think if I had been an unconverted person, I would have killed myself during that situation. But what was it that saved us from perishing in our afflictions? That the law of God was His delight. I've got a reason to live. How did Paul put it? For me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. It would be better for me to go on to glory, Paul says. But for you, it's more expedient that I stay. Because I delight in the law of the Lord, and I know the Scriptures teach me of His sovereignty and my duty to love the brethren and to exercise jurisprudence over the positions that God has put me in, I'm going to stay. I'm going to keep doing what God's commanded me to do. Verses 98, 99, and 100. Thou through Thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep Thy precepts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding start with the Word of God. Are not simply polished by or filtered through or judged according to the Word of God. They start with the Word of God. There is no eternally lasting, helpful, beneficial wisdom, knowledge, or understanding that starts with any other foundation than the Word of God. This is one of the reasons my heart breaks for those who imagine that their children can be under thousands of hours of instruction and education in a system which is designed to exclude God and His Word, and imagine they're going to receive some kind of helpful, beneficial wisdom, instruction, and knowledge. Because there is none. They can receive all the secular education in the world, and it will be, as Martin Luther said, the very gates of hell to them if it is not governed by the Word of God. Our way is made easier and lighter by the Word of God, because that's where we receive wisdom and understanding. Hasn't the mantra been for the last, I don't know how long, probably everyone in here to one degree or another, except for those who are the very oldest in here, probably heard it from their parents. Get a good education. That'll make your life so much easier. You need to make sure you get a good education. If you'll just have a good education, you won't have to go through all the hardships that I've gone through. Well, I agree. Get a good education. It'll make your life easier. And education starts with the Word of God. Everything is built on that when it comes to wisdom and instruction and understanding. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This is so similar to what he said in Psalm 19, which we sing often. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb, are the laws and commandments of God. Similar to music, a delight to our senses makes a task easier. If you're able, I don't know, maybe everyone's not this way, but if you're working through a test and you're able to chew on a piece of gum while you're doing it, or if you're doing a hard task and you're able to put a piece of hard candy in your mouth, that pleasure helps offset some of the displeasure of the hard task. And David says, this is what God's law is like. It's like this sweetness that's lingering in my mouth as I deal with the hard tasks of life. It's that thing which gives me energy, that lightens mine eyes, that gives me pleasure. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have you ever tried to take a journey in the dark? Have you ever lived somewhere outside of street lights and you had to go from one place to another? I remember growing up, you know, we lived about a quarter of a mile from my grandparents' house, and you had to go over a hill and across a creek. And if you ever had to make that journey at night, that was a perilous journey. You took it slow. You double checked to make sure you weren't stepping on any snakes. You either took it slow or you took it really fast, one or the other. Or if you've ever been driving in your car and your lights went out, that happened to me one time, got pulled over. Guy said, what are you doing? I said, my lights went out. He showed me in the fuse box where to fix it, and it was just a simple fix. But you go really slow in the dark. And when light is shined on the road, maybe on a dark back road, you can actually turn your high beams on and spread even a little more light on the situation. You feel confident to just keep trucking right along. Like earlier when he said, I run in the way of your commandments. So his word is what gives us the ability to stay on the path, to keep walking in the light. Verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. If you're not able to leave a dollar to your children and your grandchildren, but you can leave them a heritage of a godly upbringing, of every day of their life being there with counsel from the Word of God, instructing them in the law and the commandments of the Lord, your children and grandchildren can say with the psalmist, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Those of you who were raised in Christian houses, who were raised under the preaching of the gospel, some of you can look back and you know your grandparents and great-grandparents were faithful Christians. You have a heritage to your name that is better than Bill Gates' children. Take those to be your heritage. Everybody wants to have some long-lost uncle who's going to die and leave him $100 million as the only heir. But what if you have a heritage of obedience to the commands of God? That will make your life easier. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple, is what verse 130 says. We need to be humble enough to admit that we're the simple. Certainly, before our conversion, we were the simple, and the Word of God shined light. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Let's not allow our heads to get too big to imagine that we are these giants in the faith who have great understanding of all the mysteries of godliness. We don't. In many ways, we're simple. And our understanding, as we talked about earlier, the light that comes into our hearts and gives us a little bit of ability to view what's going on comes from the Word of God. That's what helps us simple ones make it through this life without too many spiritual injuries. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. A journey is easier as a free man than as a slave. The man walking in fetters with a whip cracking over his head is a difficult journey. But if we're not bound by iniquity, if we've ordered our steps, or if God has ordered our steps in His Word, in obedience to His commandments, that is not a grievous thing, that is a light thing. Verse 134, deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Man's laws oppress, God's laws deliver from oppression. I forget who it was that said it, and I'm probably butchering the quote, but I remember hearing and thinking it quite profound. Those who will not obey God's 10 commandments will be subject to man's 10,000 commandments. And that is where the tyranny of man comes from. It's coming from diverging away from the laws of God. When the commands of God are not good enough for a society, then man's commandments will come in and oppress and tyrannize. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. This is similar to the one verse parable Jesus told in Matthew 13:44 about the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a great treasure and buried it in a field and went and sold all that he had and came and bought that field. This is what the commands of God are like. Have you ever been reading through the scriptures? Have you ever gone back to the commands of God and been reading through the Pentateuch or the Old Testament or the New Testament? And you come across one of God's commands and it's like, where has that been all my life? I've read through the Bible 20 times. How did I not see that one? Where did that come from? You just found a great spoil right there. A great treasure was just given to you. It ought to cause you to rejoice. The same as if you'd found that great treasure. Jed Plunkett shooting for some food's got nothing on the child of God who finds the commands of God to be a great treasure and spoil in their life. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Is a journey easier or more difficult with peace? It's easier. Is a journey easier or more difficult with chaos? It's more difficult. God's law, God's commandments bring about peace. Those who love the law of God and are striving to be obedient to the commands of God will find that it brings order out of chaos. It brings peace to troubled, chaotic, difficult journeys. There's just 20 out of 176 of the ways in which David drives home the truth of what John was telling us in his epistle. When we seek to obey the commands of God, the Christian ought to never look at them as something that makes our life more burdensome, more heavy and weighty. We ought to see them like David did, like John did, like Paul did, a joy, a delight, sweet, rich, peaceful, helpful, beneficial, a heritage, a great spoil. On and on the illustrations go to drive home to our hearts. When we look for the benefits of God's law, they're everywhere to be found, if our hearts would be enlarged to find them. So let's pray that God would enlarge our hearts to run in the way of His commandments. Let me remind you again, if you're an unbeliever here this morning, this is God's commandment, that you repent of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work instead of your own. If you're a believer, look for the sweetness and the value in the commands of God. Put to death that temptation which would tell us the commands of God are grievous. They're heavy, they're weighty. They're not, your iniquities are weighty. Obedience is light. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word again. We come and sit under it multiple times every week, because to some degree we all are cognizant of the fact that it is what makes our journey bearable. And we thank you for that kindness, that you've given us a law that is not grievous, but quite the opposite. It lightens our load and enables us to run in the way. Enlarge our hearts to obey it better. Be with us as we go our separate ways. Help and strengthen those who are sick. Bring us back together at the appointed time. For Christ's sake, we ask all these things.